This is where we're getting our theme for our present series. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And it goes on to tell us in verse 6, we have been blessed in the Beloved. Blessed. I have come to bring you three words that I believe would completely change our perspective on life, our perspective on our position, our perspective at work, our perspective at play, our entire frame of reference for how we do life. If we could get three words into our head, I am blessed. I am blessed. I don't care how simple a thing that seems to be and how many times you think you've heard it. If we began to approach life, if we are in Christ, in the truth of our circumstances, the Word of God says that because of Jesus Christ, because we have placed our trust in Him, we are blessed. I want everybody to try it. I want you to try it on the other side of that screen. Say it. I am blessed.
I am blessed.
And say it till your bones hear it. Say it again.
I am blessed.
And I want some woman to say, I'm one blessed woman.
I'm one blessed woman.
And I want one of my brothers to say, I'm one blessed man.
I am one blessed man.
Oh, I love that. I love, give me some brothers today in this room. I hope some of you brothers said it as well. We are going to see that we are blessed. I want you to know something, and this has got to ring true all the way into the depths of our beliefs. No one is more blessed than you. If you are in Christ, somebody need to hear that? No one is more blessed than you are. When you look at someone, quit saying they are as blessed as anyone I've ever known in my life, unless you can look in the mirror and say, besides me, and besides my sister in Christ and my brother in Christ, no one has been out-blessed by God. I don't care how you look at them and say that, Beth, that could not be true. Look how gifted, look how talented, look how they have been lavished in so many ways. I am telling you that in Christ, you are not the exception to that. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Not many of them, not some of them. You have been blessed by God with every spiritual blessing. Somebody say every spiritual blessing. In Christ, in the heavenly places. Now, here's what somebody's going to say to me. That heavenly places is the part where I begin to sigh and think, what good does it do me here? Because somehow we think in our heads that if every spiritual blessing is in the heavenly places, that it's not on earth. And I beg to differ with you today. They are blessings of the Spirit, but they are very much for this world. The only reason you and I are still here after we receive Christ as our personal Savior is so that His blessing on us can become a blessing to others. Yeah. It's for this earth. It is not of this world. The blessings in our lives that are so rich in Him, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, they are not of this world. But make no mistake, girlfriend and guy friend, they are for this world. For this world. We act out of them every single day of our lives. We've been called to life in the Spirit, and every one of these spiritual blessings play into that. Now, I want you to see something with me. I was thinking this morning because these words, as we were coming over here in the car to the studio today, kept going through my head. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. And we were driving early this morning. It really just barely having the sun come up, and the sun was shining right on a beautiful green sign with the word Starbucks on it. And I thought, I am blessed. I am blessed. And the line was so long in the drive-thru that I went on in to get it because nobody was inside. And so I went inside to get it. I ordered my dry cappuccino, and she said, listen, this is your lucky day because this barista right here makes the best cappuccino on the planet. I went, it is because I am blessed. I am blessed. I walked all the way up the car going, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. So there are two basic categories for life for us, and that is not a blessing and a blessing. Some things are not a blessing. We are going to see we are absolutely steeped in blessing. Now, look back at that word where it says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So you've got blessed, blessed, and blessing. All of those words come from the same basic Greek word, eulogeo, eulogeo. I want to spell it to you because when I do, you will get a little clue about how it connects to a word in our English language. So if anybody wants to take this down or we'll have it come up on the screen, here's how you spell it. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. Eulogeo. Everybody say it with me.
Eulogeo.
Say it one more time.
Eulogeo.
Do you see any English word that you attribute to any particular ceremony in our human traditions? What word do you see in it? Anybody?
Eulogy.
You see the word eulogy. Only this is a really interesting eulogy because you and I are accustomed to eulogies that are said after the fact. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody in this room or on the other side of the screen ever pictured what your funeral would be like? I'm not trying to be morose. I'm just asking you. Have you ever wondered when it's all said and done, what will be read over you and said over you when you are gone? And it's a strange thing because it will not affect you at all. You know, we wonder what it will be, but it may bless somebody else in the room. But actually, you know what? It's done for you regarding how you're going to live out that earthly journey because, you know, it's too late. A eulogy that is spoken at your funeral, it may be right on time for somebody there as your loved one, but it is too late for you. But what if a eulogy was spoken in advance? Oh, come on, somebody. Come on. What if somebody wrote up, no, this is what your life is like. This is what you were set aside for. What if you saw early on the kind of significance your life was going to have, the true meaning that it was going to bear, the kind of purpose that would be lived out, what your life would be like in Christ, that you are called, that you are gifted, that you have been redeemed, that you have been transformed by Him? What if you got to see that in advance instead of after the fact? It is a word that means that EU on that Greek word and in our English word eulogy means good. That L-O-G-Y in eulogy, or the word that we would have L-O-G-E-O in the Greek, that means to speak. So it means to speak well of. What I want you to understand is that our God spoke our eulogies in advance. Why? Because if we were dead, it would be too late for our eulogy to affect us. It has been told to us in advance. So, girlfriend, so, guy friend, we will step up and walk in it. He already wrote it up. How meaningful your life is. How blessed you are. What has been entrusted to you, what a difference you were called to make in your sphere of influence. What if we stepped into that? It calls Him the blessed God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That particular word that is attributed to Him means praise to be to Him. And it means that we speak of Him. The one who is well spoken of has spoken well over us. I want you to understand something today. Your God has talked behind your back. And it was good. Anybody? If you hear somebody's been talking behind your back, that never is a good feeling. Until it comes to God. And He's been talking behind your back, but He's also made sure He's talking right in front of your face if you're looking at His Word. Here's what I love about it. His eulogies double as prophecies. In our human traditions, especially in the West and in many parts of the world, our eulogies are speaking over our histories. No, not in Ephesians chapter 1. Our eulogies are spoken as prophecies given to us. This is what your life has been set apart for. I want you to see it because it is such a beautiful thing to understand what has been spoken over us so that we will begin to step into it. Because I'm going to tell you something. I am absolutely certain there are people, although they would not word it this way, perhaps others of you have, that just think, listen, I'm cursed. This family's cursed. So, I mean, it's like something is just on us. And you need to hear today, you are not cursed. You are blessed. Look at one another and say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
All right, now here's what I want you to see. Paul is coming from as Jewish a background as a writer inspired by the Holy Spirit could possibly come from in the scriptures. A Hebrew of Hebrews, he was a Pharisee among them. And I don't just mean that in the negative term we think of it according to the picture of the legalists in the Gospels. I'm talking about he had moved as far up in the sect as he possibly could have in that Jewish belief system. So he's giving in the very beginning of this portion of Ephesians chapter 1 what is called, and commentators call it this, he is casting this in a form of a baraka, a baraka. That is the Hebrew word for blessing. The Hebrew word for bless is barak, and the Hebrew word for blessing, to speak a blessing over someone, is to speak baraka over them. And that is exactly what he's doing in these portions. You want to hear something really crazy? I can't even tell you for sure what the connection is. We can't find it for anything. Anybody will just declare in concrete, this is what it is. But the word barak, which is the Hebrew for bless, that word comes from the word in Hebrew that is for the knee. It means the knee, and it means to kneel. So there's something about the blessing that is connected to kneeling. And it could have two forms to it. In other words, we kneel in our thinking. When we praise God, when we exalt Him, when we lift Him up, we are going down in order to do it. So there's this picture of when I bless God, when I praise Him, when I speak well of Him, I'm going down. It's like on my knees and I'm lifting Him up. But there is also the picture. Now, again, I can't give you this in concrete, but there's this sense in this picture of what the connection could be, that we also receive our blessing on our knees. Now, this is what I want you to understand, because somebody watching this series is going to say, I'm afraid I'd sound arrogant if I just went, I am blessed. I am blessed. This is not arrogance. This is appreciation. Appreciation. This is having the attitude that on our knees, I have been mercied and graced by God who has lavished me in Christ Jesus out of no doing of my own. This is appreciation. How often would you want somebody to have given you something that you would not even receive? What if you didn't receive it? I brought a little visual aid with me this time that I want you to see. This was a gift to me from a good friend of mine who worked for about 4 years in the White House. And I want you to understand that this is a replica of the china of Abraham Lincoln. It is his issue. This is his teacup and saucer collection based on his original china. Of course, just a replica. It's got its little a certificate of authenticity that goes right with it. And I keep it in my office all the time. Now, I'm a big coffee drinker. So every single day, I'm pouring something into a cup. But you want to hear something? Never once have I poured anything into this cup. Never once. It just sits on a shelf. And I think, man, that is a beautiful cup. Man, I wonder what it was like for Abraham Lincoln and his wife to pick up this cup and sip from this cup. But I'm never going to sip from this cup. Even after this lesson, I might not be likely to sip from this cup. Why? Because it is Abraham Lincoln's cup. This cup is too noble for me. I'm not going to drink out of it. I am going to admire it. That is what we are doing with our blessings. Yeah. We just admire them. We get in the Word of God. We're just going to admire them. Oh, that looks so pretty. It sounds so pretty. But that cup is always for somebody special. For your pastors to drink out of. Yeah. For your teachers to drink out of. People in this, worship leaders. Now, they are truly gifted. No, you have got a cup of blessing. You have got a cup of blessing. And it's beautiful. And it's expensive. And we're going to start drinking out of it, because I am telling you, if we would get this mentality, our entire perspective would change. If we began to walk out the door in the morning with everything coming against us, so rattled, so confused about things, and on the way to the car, our keys in our hands say, what? I am blessed. I am blessed. When somebody mistreats us, we can walk behind their back and go, well, I'm just going to tell you something. I'm blessed. You can't do anything about this one because I am blessed and my blessing is forever. Barakah has been spoken over me and I want it. I am bountifully loved, extravagantly saved, supplied, empowered, delivered. Anybody got the hang of that one? All right, let me say it again and you say it with me. I am bountifully loved, extravagantly saved, supplied, empowered, delivered. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, you just gave me chills. I don't know how you're doing. All right, I want you to say it again. Let's have some good attitude with it and start with the I am. I am bountifully loved, extravagantly saved, supplied, empowered, delivered. Anybody like the sound of that? Girlfriend, Godfriend, you are not cursed. You are blessed. Okay, listen. I love that it tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 as it describes the blessing that in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. I mean, he overwhelms us with grace and gives us forgiveness of sin. Okay, I had the most interesting encounters at the airport in the trip that I took up here for this taping. One right after another. In four of my first encounters, three of them had something to do with Christ. Three of them. I couldn't even believe it. One crying her eyes out for prayer. Another came over to me and told me that she was going through really getting free and some areas of substance abuse. And we talked together and really believed God together. Then I went and checked in. So I had a moment with a woman that was right behind the counter. We just said good morning. But I stepped over and in that part of the terminal, you have to take over your suitcase and give it to the people there in security so that they can run it through the machine. So I took it over. And when I did, a man, tall man with reddish hair, I don't know why, for you to just picture things with me. He is grinning from ear to ear. And so he has familiarity, perhaps through this program. And he said, Mrs. Moore, good morning. I said, well, good morning to you. He said, I have got to tell you what I learned this morning. I said, what did you learn this morning? And he had been listening to a pastor preach a message in his car on the way over to work that morning. And he said, do you know that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm thinking, where in the world is this going? He said, do you know he will not be exposing our sins to everyone? And I said, I do know that. I do know that. But I said, I am so glad you know that. He goes, I have thought all this time when it said that it would show us for what we are and that what we had done would be revealed. He said, I've thought all this time we were going to stand up there before God and it was going to be just like a videotape of all of our mistakes and all of our sins. And I said, you know what I wanted to say to him is that does not sound like heaven to me. It sounds like the polar opposite place to me, but that's another story entirely. It wasn't time to tell me. I went, oh, no, 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 no. And he's talking out of the book of 1 Corinthians when it tells us about the judgment seat of Christ. And it will be according to the works that we've done. It won't be about salvation. It won't be about our sins. It will be according to what we've done in the name of Christ during our lifetime. And you know what was on that man that morning? He was so relieved. He was out of his mind. I mean, he could not keep from speaking it. He wanted everybody that knew, listen, my sins will not be shown. And it's just going to be about my works. It was good news to him. Is it good news to anybody else? Yes. Good news to anybody else. It's not about being shamed. Yes. It's about being named over Jesus Christ because of what he has already done for us. I was thinking about that line out of the beautiful hymn, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. It does not get better than that. Okay, I'm dying to show you something. This is going to connect us by way of Barakah, the blessing that is getting spoken by this Jewish believer, Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to understand that it connects to the word for bless in the Old Testament as well. And I want to show you a list of blessings. There are a number of them, but there are some that are said over the tribes that are so rich. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 33.
Anybody just glad they came to class today? Anybody just like thinking somehow, even if you couldn't verbalize it that way and never would, you just feel like things have just been cursed around you lately? No, you are blessed. You are blessed. We're going to take down a couple of points about blessing, and it starts right here. Deuteronomy 33, I want to read the first verse and then two words of the second verse, and then we're going to look at a later portion of it because there's a particular blessing I want you to really press into with me. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 33, this is the blessing, that is the barakah, with which Moses, the man of God, blessed, that is a form of the word barak, the people of Israel before his death. In verse 2, I'm wondering if your translation says it the same thing, the same way mine does. What are the first two words of verse 2 for many of you?
He said.
He said. Because somebody say that to me again.
He said.
Okay, what?
He said. Right,
here's what I want you to see. There is a blatant, glaring qualifier of the blessing, and it is this. A blessing is spoken. A blessing is spoken. Everybody say back to me, blessing is meant to be spoken. I want you to take down number one in a series of a couple of points we're going to put together out of this message. I am blessed, and it's this. Number one, the God of all creation has spoken blessings over us. The God of all creation has spoken blessings over us. We saw that because of the word that is used in Greek. It means to speak good over. I want you to know his heart has always been good toward you, always been filled with extraordinary, unconditional love. But what I want you to hear today is he didn't just sit there in his condition feeling that love for you. He spoke it. He did not just say in his own heart, these are such blessed people. He said, no, I'm going to tell you, you are blessed. A very important part of blessing is actually speaking it. That's why when someone comes to us and says, I really need your blessing over this, to just say you've always had it does not work. You know what they want you to do? Look them straight in the face and say, I bless you. Because you may think, well, you know, I bless my children all the time. Have you spoken over them? Have you spoken over them? Fathers with sons, have you spoken blessings? Not to, well, he already knows. I show him in 1,000 different ways. I'm really not one to use a lot of words. That is hogwash when it comes to the blessing. A blessing is spoken. It's given words. And I want you to hear this. It's not just assumed. It's not just understood. It's not just perceived. It is put into words, spoken, said, left no doubt. I want you to hear this portion out of the definition of the Greek word eulogeo that we saw in Ephesians 1 verse 3. This is out of the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament. Now I'm quoting word for word. When the subject is God, in other words, when he is doing the blessing, when the subject is God, his speaking is action, for God's speech is energy released. I nearly had a spiritual fit. When the subject is God, his speaking is action, for God's speech is energy released. That's why when he said, let there be light, there was, because it has to be. He speaks it and it is done. That means that moment that God spoke all of this blessing over your life, every bit of the power and energy released to make it tangible and so in the living out of your real live life was already put into action. Yes. Energy, he spoke it and he released the power to do it. Every bit of the power that you need to live in your blessing has already been spoken over your life. Now, I just want you to picture somebody saying to you next time you sneeze, bless you, and you look at them going, I am blessed. You have no idea how blessed I am. I am blessed because blessings are spoken. We have it word for word, and we can count on it. Now, I want you to go down with me to verse 13. throughout this portion, and there's a portion very similar to it at the end of the book of Genesis. This is speaking blessing over the tribes of Israel. There's one in particular that so gets to me because I really do think that it has a lot of parallels with who we have been called to be and what's been entrusted to us as New Testament believers this side of the cross and this side of the resurrection and giving of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the blessing over Joseph and his line. Verse 13. And of Joseph he said, and this is Moses speaking, he's with the blessing, blessed by the Lord be his land, it's Joseph's land, with the choicest gifts of heaven above and of the deep that crouches beneath, with the choicest fruits of the sun and the rich yield of the months, with the finest produce of the ancient mountains and the abundance of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwells in the bush. May these rest on the head of Joseph, on the pate of him, and that's the crown of the head, on the pate of him who is prince among his brothers. I want you to see something in this portion, because five different times in Hebrew, one word is being said. Over and over and over again, there is a Hebrew word. I'll give you the transliteration of it in case you like this kind of thing. It is the word Meged, M-E-G-E-D, Meged. It is used five different times in just these few verses. And in the ESV, it would be for choicest gifts, choicest fruits, rich yield, finest produce, best gifts. Every single one of these words are the repetition of the same Hebrew word that is trying to get it through our heads. This is the best God is blessing us with. Choicest of blessings. I want you to know that you have been given the choicest of blessings. Number two, I want you to get it down so that you have this one in your spirit. Number two is this, based on what we just saw in Deuteronomy 33, God has graced us with the choicest gifts. God has graced us with the choicest gifts. And if you're just desperate for it, listen, write it in first person. God has blessed me, graced me with the choicest gifts. Notice that he's blessing his land, and we have such a parallel in that. Do you remember, if this is familiar to you, that in John chapter 15, we're told in verse 8, this is Christ talking, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I promise you that it is the will of God that you are profoundly effective and live out the profoundly impacting presence of the gifts that he has placed in your life, that you show yourself to be his disciples by bearing much fruit." It says in verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." Verse 11, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." I love verse 16 that says in John 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Listen, I want somebody to get this with me today. Do you realize that you were choice to him? That every single one of us in Christ, and listen, that can be settled today. If you don't know him as Savior, he is one invitation away from you. Accept what he has done for you on the cross. Come to him and say, "I cannot save myself. Jesus, you save me. I accept what you did for me." And in him, listen, do you realize you were choice to him? Maybe you bear a wound because you were not somebody's choice that you wanted so much to be chosen by. Maybe it didn't turn out that love you had chose you. Maybe they walked away from you. Do you realize that in Christ, he was not having you forced upon him? He chose you. You were choices to him. And he has given you choices, gifts. Precious gifts, the best of gifts. I love that in Deuteronomy 33:13, it's talking about the dew of the land. You can't hear it very well in the ESV, but you can hear it blatantly in the other major translations. It's talking about that the land has been blessed by the dew beneath their feet and by the heavens over their head. And I love that. I love that. I believe that we walk in that kind of blessing. That he's put it with the, that it's nourished by the dew under our feet, and it is nourished by the heavens over our head. We are chosen by him, and we are blessed. I need you to know today, little blessing is an oxymoron. There is no such thing. There's no such thing as I got this blessing and they got that blessing. No, you have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, amen, in the heavenly realms, and you cannot, it is absolutely spiritually and biblically impossible for you to be a little blessed. A little blessed. Look at one another and say, you are big blessed. Oh, you are big blessed. And we got the blessing of the Holy Spirit. I love Luke 11:13 that says when Jesus is drawing a comparison about parents being fleshly people, but and we love our children. He said, in comparison to the way your heavenly Father loves you, you're wicked to your children. Your best goodness is wicked in comparison with how he is to his children. And it says this, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit, the giftedness, the blessing in the heavenly realm. Somebody say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
And I want you to look at that acronym and I want you to tell me what it says again. Tell me what those letters are. B-L-E-S-S-E-D. I want to hear it. I am bountifully loved, extravagantly saved, supplied, empowered, delivered. Somebody may just be walking up on this message, so they need to hear that one more time. Let's try it again. I am bountifully loved, extravagantly saved, supplied, empowered, delivered. Anybody think that could make their day a little bit better? Anybody? I think maybe if I remember that on my way out to the car, I am going to have a blessing. I want you to see this as well. Ready for number three? We too have the favor of him who dwelled in the burning bush. Did y'all catch that terminology in Deuteronomy 33? I'm going to read it to you, so go ahead and write that down. We too have the favor of him who dwelled in the burning bush. Oh, I love this. All right, I'm going to read it to you again, Deuteronomy 33:13-16. And of Joseph he said, blessed by the Lord be his land with the choicest gifts of heaven above and of the deep that crouches beneath, with the choicest fruits of the sun, with the rich yield of the months, with the finest produce of the ancient mountains and the abundance of the everlasting hills. I want you to believe that over your own inheritance and over the gifts that you bring to this mix and over your capacity to bear much fruit. This is the kind of produce that you have been promised. It says in verse 16, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness and the favor of him. Favor is a beautiful word. Everybody say it.
Favor.
The favor of him who dwells in the burning bush. It is the most gorgeous wording. In almost all of the major translations, you will see the word favor there, but it is a gorgeous word in Hebrew. You'll see it in ESV, you'll see it in NIV, you'll see it in NAS. It certainly means favor, but I want you to take it a little bit further in that definition of the Hebrew word that also translates delight and pleasure. Delight and pleasure. The delight of the one who dwelled in the burning bush. And it's talking about, of course, when Moses comes walking over in the middle of nowhere, called to see what is burning within that bush. And he walks over to it, and there God meets with him and says, this is my name throughout which I will be called in all generations. I am who I am. It is glorious. This is the very same one who has favor over us. And I wonder, I want you to hear it in the message because it uses a word I just love. In Eugene Peterson's translation, it says, the best of earth's exuberant gifts and the smile of the burning bush dweller. The smile. I wonder today, do you ever let yourself feel, sense, believe, and accept that you are a delight to your God? I just wonder, how foreign is that to us? to somebody in this room and to somebody on the other side of that screen, that is as foreign a concept as you can imagine. It is so far out into the atmosphere, you cannot even get your head around it. But I am praying that God is going to cause you, and would you welcome Him to do it, cause you to get a sense when you are just a delight to Him. He always loves you. He always lavishes you. He always esteems you. He always gives you dignity. He always gives you honor. He has crowned us with goodness and mercy. But I want you to know that there are times when He purely smiles over you. There may be times when He laughs out loud at you. Can you even wrap your mind around that? Listen, and we don't have to be perfect to do that. Do you know nobody on the planet makes me laugh harder than my two daughters? I've got two daughters in their early 30s. And listen, my idea of a good time is to be with those girls laughing our heads off together. I took a walk with my youngest one just the other day in the country. And literally, I had to stop at one point. I couldn't even stand up. She kills me. She kills me. My oldest daughter is hands down one of the funniest people I've ever known in my life. They delight me. Now, nobody knows their faults better than I do. Nobody knows that they're imperfect any more fully than I do. They're my children. I raised them. I wore them out when they were little. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Talk about not politically correct. I meant that just in a figurative sense. I did not mean that any other way. I don't want you to really know the fact that there used to be times when I would say, especially to my youngest strong-willed child, I suggest you get upstairs, shut the door, and lock it behind you because I'm coming for you. Anybody? Anybody? I mean, those same ones that got grounded, that had their cars taken from them at times, that got in all sorts of trouble, still, I will tell you, nobody on the planet makes me laugh like they do. They delight me. Do you understand that you are a delight to Him? I pray He's going to catch you in a moment where you realize this moment. He is grinning from ear to ear over me. His smile is on me. I have the favor of the one who says, I am that I am. I change everything for you, everything for you. Met Moses out in the back end of nowhere, having run from his own sin and his own foolish decision. And there he was all by himself. And God met with him there. You have that kind of favor. No matter what your past is like, no matter what is behind you, He knows. He knew before the foundation of the world. He knew before He ever called your name exactly what your life was going to look like. He wrote you a beautiful eulogy before you did all those things, before I did all those things. Somebody needs to know that today. Mutual delight. Sometime would you just check out the words of Psalm 37, because they say to us, delight yourself in the Lord in verse 4, and He will give you the desires of your heart. But do you know that later on in that same chapter in verse 23, it talks about the Lord delighting in a man's steps who honors Him. And it's the most beautiful picture of mutual delight. Do you think honestly that the delight you get in anything, if you get delight over your children, if you get delight over your grandchildren, if your parents and grandparents, if you get delight over your good friends and over those that that are so dear to you, do you think that that is not in the image of God? It was born of His heart. Even our laughter was born of the heart of God. And I want you to know He delights in you. And oh, that we would sense that delight. Somebody's going to have to tell me our acronym again because I'm just about to burst if I don't hear it. Will somebody just take a look at it, because somebody's just now getting with us and they need to know what we mean. We're going to memorize something together, because from now on, we're not just going to say I'm blessed, but we're going to know what blessed means, and we've got an acronym for it and I need to hear it. I am bountifully loved, extravagantly saved, supplied, empowered, delivered. Anybody? Anybody need that? I want to tell you guys a story as we kind of draw this series to a conclusion. It has affected me. It's something that I'm going to begin to implement into my experience, and I hope that many of you will do the same thing. I want to see God, delight over me because I receive what He's already done for me. Please, God, please let that be me. Not very long ago, my father-in-law and mother-in-law took all of us kids, their natural-born children, by that I mean it wasn't their grandchildren, it was their children, just that one generation. They took all of us out to eat, their kids and their spouses. So it was Keith's two sisters, and one of their spouses was on the other side of the planet in another country, so he could not be there, obviously. But then his other sister had her husband, and then I was there with my man as well. So we were all sitting around the table of a very, very nice restaurant in Houston. He had made all the arrangements for it, had a room set up for us in the restaurant all to ourselves, and he had even told Keith in advance, he said, listen, I'm not going to fight with anybody over the check. This is mine. I want to buy. I am putting on this supper, and I don't want any of y'all to take it over. I just loved it. Now, they are in their early 80s, and we were supposed to have this dinner last year when he had a terrible, terrible health condition overtake him, and he was in the hospital. But it was their 61st anniversary this year. That's what we were celebrating. We were supposed to celebrate it at 60, but we were a year behind, 61 years. Here we are sitting at the restaurant. And he is very, very intentional about what he brings into the conversation. He said he was going to steer it, and he steered it indeed. And he talked so many things about their lives, the decades of raising those children. And at one point of the meal, toward the very end of the meal, quite unexpectedly to us, he begins to go around the circle of that table and speak specifically using our names over every single one of us. Now, this is a wonderful man, but he's not just like hyper. If you're picturing, a pastor, someone, or perhaps hyper spiritual, that he would not, I'm not sure, have even realized what a spiritual impact he was having in what he was doing. I mean, it was so biblical, and it was just coming rolling out of his tongue. He spoke to us by name. He said, Beth. And I mean, he spoke to me about what I had meant to their family. He said specific things like, what we have missed had you not come along. And he just went around one by one. I bawled and bawled the next day thinking about it because it was so deliberate on his part. He spoke blessing to us. Do you remember that it says in Deuteronomy 33, in that first verse, that Moses blessed those tribes before his death? Now, I hope we've got my father-in-law for a whole lot of years, but you know what he was trying to do? He was being very intentional. He was speaking the blessing before he is off this planet. He wanted us to hear it. Now, here's what I want you to know. He comes to a point in it. He's spoken blessing over every single person at the table. And then he says something to us. He says, two of you are missing. And he let that hang in the air for a moment. Because Keith's parents did not just lose one child. They lost their firstborn when he was 3 years old. They lost another child. They lost their third child, a daughter. So they have buried two children. They have been through as much pain as any people I have ever known in my life. And so he said to us while we were sitting at the table, we have lost two of you. And we all just let that settle on us for a minute. Most of our eyes filled up with tears. Their eyes glistened. And he looked back around the table and said, but look what we have. Look what we have. It was so profound because it said two things to us. It said this, those two people could not be replaced. Even with all the joy that has come in these latter years, they could not be replaced to those two parents. Nothing has ever happened that filled in the void of those two people. They were dignified and honored and esteemed at that table as their children that night. But you know what he was saying to us? They did not miss who they had because they missed who they lost. Oh, help us, Father. Oh, help us. Because it's so hard to do. But help us not miss what we have because we miss what we lost. that we miss the blessing of our here and now because of what we do not have.